This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here with Dr. Lisa Kaltenegger of the Max Planck Institute of Astronomy and Harvard, and she just gave a talk about super Earths and life characterising the atmosphere of rocky planets. So, first of all, what exactly do you mean by super Earth?
So super Earth, in my definition, is something that's rocky like the Earth, but a bit more massive, because these are the planets we are currently finding. We are not there at the Earth level yet, at least not for the temperate ones that could have water like on the Earth and potentially could have life. Again, we don't know, but the exciting possibility exists. But those super Earths, so planets that actually have about up to 10 Earth masses, and in terms of radius, up to 2 radii, that's from formation theory, those ones we already found. We already found a couple. Kepler found lots of samples, radial velocity from the ground, the wobble technique that is looking for small planets around close by stars, found a couple of it. So we have a handful of those already at the right distance from the star, that there could be liquid water.
So this is like the habitable zone, the Goldilocks zone?
Absolutely. That's what we call the habitable zone. It's basically, if you think about it, like you standing close to a bonfire. Mm-hmm. If you're too close in, it's too hot. If you're too far out, it's too cold. And there's one region where you're going to be comfy standing there. And that is basically similar, if you think about it, that the habitable zone. At that region, it's not too cold, so water's not going to freeze out. It's not too hot, so water would evaporate and actually get lost to space, what we think happened on Venus. Mm-hmm. It's just a region where it's just warm enough that it's not frozen, but that you can have liquid water. And that is a certain distance from the star. Depends on if the star is very hot and big or small and cool. Again, bonfire analogy. Mm-hmm. Big and hot bonfire, you might want to stand further away. And so this is what we're concentrating our search on for these planets, because if there's liquid water on the surface, A, from biology, we think that we need liquid water for life. That's what biologists actually tell us, so I tend to believe what they tell me. And B, it actually allows any gases that life produces to go into the atmosphere, because we can't go there. We don't have any spacecraft to let us fly there. So the only thing we really have is the light that we can catch from these planets, that we use our telescopes to catch. And so right now we're working on things like the James Webb telescope, the telescopes coming up after Hubble, and ground-based on the EELT, the European Extremely Large Telescope, great name, that is about, both of them are about to go online in about 2018, so only a couple of years, 5 to 6 years, and those would give us the first opportunity, if we find an Earth-like planet close by, one of those super-Earths, mm-hmm. to look at these and actually have a look at their atmosphere. And that would tell us whether or not they are analog to the Earth, so they see, or they show things like water, ozone, oxygen, CH4, and CO2, that basically is a cocktail that we see in our own planet. And the combination of oxygen or ozone with a reducing gas like CH4 tells you that a lot of oxygen is being produced. And that is produced on the Earth by biology. And if it's not an incredibly hot planet, we have no other explanation for the huge amount of oxygen, because it sticks around while you have reducing gas that it actually reacts with really fast to be produced. So that's right now our fingerprint for habitability. Or it could be something like Venus or Mars, where you see CO2 in the atmosphere, but you don't see water or oxygen. And so if you think about it, it's very interesting. You have Venus and you have the Earth. And if you have radius and mass of the two, like we get right now for some of these small planets, they look pretty similar, right? Because the mass of Venus and the Earth is roughly the same, and also the radius is. But they provide such a different environment, one being habitable, one not. And so this is why we really need the light from those planets, whether in transit, when they go in front of their star and part of the starlight gets filtered through the atmosphere, or by blocking out the stellar light with a coronagraph. Mm-hmm. Either of these methods will give you access to the planetary atmosphere, and that's what you want, because that tells you if the atmosphere is similar to ours or to Venus or completely different, and then if there are signatures of biology in it. So the really fascinating thing for me is really that we're finding not just other continents, if you think about the old explorers, we're finding other worlds, and among those could be some worlds like ours. And we are this generation that gets to do the first steps. We are on these first steps. And maybe if we're really lucky and we have Earth-like planets nearby, we don't know that yet, but the probability is high. We could now, in about 10 years, just looking up at the sky and saying, look, this one just might have another Earth like ours. And I think that is pretty fascinating that we're going to be that generation that actually gets to do that.
That's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for stopping to talk to us. And yeah, thank you for being on the Jodcast.
Yeah, my pleasure. Have fun.